After we did the one on carnivore and the benefits of eating meat and sharing some of the thoughts of Dr. Chafee and Sophia Clemens from the Hungarian Clinic, I felt maybe it would be a balanced thing to talk a little bit about why the vegetarians and vegans feel very strongly about their position, just so that we can understand and decipher whether we're missing something or is there some knowledge that we can attain to sort of maybe even find some sort of a happy medium. Is there a balance between maybe eating some plant-based and some animal-based? I know what your answer is going to be, and I'm really interested in hearing that. But in my research, I was trying to find an expert who is recognized and would be taken seriously by the vegetarian and the vegan end of the conversation. So there was this woman named Dr. Joanne Kong, and she was speaking on TEDx. So I thought she would be a good reference for us. She's already had like a million views. So obviously she's well regarded and, in doing a little bit of research, I found that, she definitely does tend to be a spokesperson for the position of plant-based eating. But oddly enough, she's a doctor of musical art from the University of Oregon. So she's not a the type of doctor I thought she was going to be. But nevertheless, she makes very strong arguments and people seem to really appreciate her being that voice for plant-based diets. So she makes a lot of points in this talk. And for example, she says animal agriculture has the raising of animal food for food, for example, has grown to become one of the most damaging industries to our planet. And we hear that a lot. And I know that you've done some studies on this. What's your opinion when plant-based advocates say that we must eat fruits and vegetables and greens and nuts and rice because the animals are hurting the planet.
Oh, saving the planet.
By eating vegetables, yeah.
What a noble goal, right? Animals would be killing the planet or hurting the planet when they are the planet, right?
Yeah.
I think today you have in the US, for example, millions and millions of heads of cattle less than 100 years ago.
Right.
When the Europeans arrived in the US, you had them 100 million bisons or buffaloes regenerating the soil. Because we know that the topsoil on our planet, the humus, the really the fertile part, was created by animals.
Right.
It is the circle of ruminant animals eating the plants that goes into this wonderful system of four chambers of fermentation, where bacteria is actually transforming the plants and the cellulose of the plant in particular into saturated fat, and that the animal is eating this saturated fat and also this bacteria. Then you have the manure that goes into the soil and is putting back into the soil the nitrogen that is necessary for any life of the plants. And we have, I think, an overblown perception of the impact of humans on this planet regarding the production of this CO2 or methane. You have to put things into perspective. Methane in particular, or CO2, the thermites, which is an insect that they're eating wood,
Yeah, termites, yeah.
Termites. If you take termites, they produce as much CO2 as whole human activity combined on this planet yearly.
Right.
So the fact that yes, we release CO2, but it is the food of the plants. Is it related to any impact on the climate? This is debated.
Right. So you're saying that without animals, we wouldn't have a planet. We wouldn't have the
No.
topsoil that we require. We wouldn't have the quality of the planet that we require. Fair enough. And she's talking about raising animals for food. So she's talking about farming, animals for food, and the conditions in which we farm them, and the usage of the grains and the feed, you know, that we have to grow. So more crops for animal feed. And of course, they do emit their own gases, which of course human beings do too. And that's just a fact of life. And that's probably a 0.0001% factor into the gas emissions. But she makes those points from the perspective of farming animals for food. So is there a difference in your mind as far as whether we're farming them for food or whether we're just letting them run and roam free as natural and free animals that they should be?
I think over the years it has been recognized that intensive cattle farming outside of natural conditions is probably a bad thing. And let's say from a sensitivity perspective, you cannot deprive animals from their natural way of life.
Mm-hmm.
But many farmers know that, because it is true that if a cow is not happy, it will not produce milk.
Yeah.
If an animal is depressed and deprived of sun, it will not be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And you will spend a lot of money into curing, into preventing disease.
Yeah.
It's just like human beings, all animals, all living organisms, they need to be, quote unquote, happy in order to live and to deliver, let's say, what they're supposed to deliver in life. So there was some excess.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, there's a lot of exaggeration. People who are blaming animal agriculture do not usually point out to the fact that 95% of all animals that are raised maybe in a prairie eating grass.
Yeah.
A lot of them are what is called grain finished.
Yeah.
In the last 2 or 3 months of their life, they are given grains, corn, or some cereal.
The majority of them are fed like that in the...
I would say probably most of them are finished like that, right? But out of a 2-year life, 3-year life, you have a few months at the end to fatten them up.
Mm.
And these grains are making them fat, just as they do for humans.
Right.
Right? They are mammals. But it is really a question that is... You cannot extend the practice of 5% to the whole thing. So in general, it is estimated that maybe 10% of the plant production is used to feed animals. And generally, people who are really putting the blame of animal raising say that it is ridiculous that we would use like 16 kilograms of grains to get 1 kilo of meat.
Yeah.
Right? It is not at all the case. Most of the plants that are provided to animals, you know, during the winter in Europe, they cannot have grass. So the game for the farmer is to collect plants for the winter,
mm-hmm.
during the summer. And the plants they are collecting for them are plants that humans cannot consume.
Right.
So at the end of the day, cows are a wonderful machine that is upcycling proteins in plants that we cannot benefit from.
So the best way to get your vegetables is by eating a cow, because the cow is processing the vegetables that one would eat in a more beneficial way and actually extracting the nutrients. Because haven't we learned that plants actually have anti-nutrients and they're not... healthy. So eating plants is not a way of getting the nutrients that a plant may hold.
Yes. But if we want to set the discussion into a very dispassionate framework,
mm-hmm.
we don't need plants or meat or anything. We need the components of these things.
Right.
All right. So we have a body that is part of the mammal world,
mm.
and we need protein, we need fats, and carbohydrates.
So why not just take a bunch of supplement pills and just call it a day?
Exactly. The thing is, we have a very poor understanding of how this whole machinery operates. These are very complex systems within systems within systems. It's beyond comprehension for now. We have in each of these living organisms interactions of systems that we just barely start to understand they exist. And we are very far from understanding how they work. We are very far from understanding how all these things articulate one with the, with each other. In a plant or in a piece of meat, we have so many things we don't know, we don't know.
Yeah.
So all we can rely on is experience and the results. And let's say the history of our diet.
Right.
And what we see constantly throughout history is that people in general, in the Middle Ages in Europe, for example, peasants or even noble people, they were complaining when they had to only eat vegetables or plants because it was deemed to be a failure of those in charge. It is a time of scarcity. It is a fallback diet for poverty.
Well, not to mention the plants of today are not the plants of previous generations. So they have had a form of mutation, and they have been handled and manufactured really differently than they were ever produced in the past. Isn't that correct?
Yes, it is absolutely correct. Since the introduction of agriculture about 12,000 years ago, humans have been trying to select plants so that from something very non-sugary, very fibrous, they would pick the plants or the trees that are more palatable or more easy to store for long periods. And they would prefer this tree and replant it again and again. And this made a selection over time. So over 1,000, 2,000 years, you have plants and fruits that appear that did not exist. For example, all the kale family, the Brussels sprouts,
and relatively new.
All these things, well, they started really a few hundred years ago, but they all come from one herb. So they are all, let's say, modification, selection of one herb, which is the wild mustard.
Yeah, a friend of mine who really had a tough time with my ideas on eating meat-based food, you know, but kudos to her because she really stayed open-minded and she did her own research and she's coming around. And just recently she sent me a post where she said, I just can't believe she found a picture of a banana, I don't know how many years ago, versus what a banana looks like today. And it's so different. And she said, I'm having a heart attack because I never factored in that the idea that, you know, these are not the same plants that, you know, our ancestors were eating. And so how do we know they're good for us? So she's asking those kinds of questions.
Well, 99.9% of the plants in this planet will kill you directly.
Yeah.
And so why do we think that four different plants that we find in our supermarket, they would actually be good for us?
Yeah, absolutely right. Because a lot of the doctors that I've been following, and I've been doing a lot of independent research as well, in addition to some of the stuff that you've been teaching me, it is consistent with that. They're all saying that plants will kill you. Plants are poisonous for human beings. And we have to be very careful, you know, when we try to develop our understanding around plants, because we have to understand what are those components that are so dangerous that no matter how much you cook them or eat them raw or whatever, they are going to hurt us.
Yes. The science of preparing plant is an ancestral knowledge, and we've lost it. Our ancestor knew that such and such plant, you couldn't consume it without preparing, cooking a lot, or ferment it, right? And today we think, for example, potato, the peel of the potato, people in Poland, they knew it was absolutely toxic.
Yeah.
But today we are said that all the vitamins are in the peel, you know?
Yeah.
So
there was a science to the fermentation of fruits and vegetables.
Knowledge. Yes.
Which we don't do anymore. We don't make our fruits and vegetables fermented.
We're like coming back to some ignorance.
But even then, did we really need to eat fermented fruits and vegetables?
No, but again, it was understood in all cultures that the plants would be a complementary food to the real food. Which is the meat or the animal product.
Right, the fatty meat-based diet. Exactly.
So to come back to the remark of this wonderful lady that is doing this tech talk about vegetarianism and saying that the animals are destroying the planet, it is actually quite the opposite. If I look at things from a dispassionate point of view, agriculture, monocropping, and the tiling of the land overdone over the past 200 years has actually created deserts from our lands, fertile lands, right? Nothing is growing anymore in England, in France, or in the US without artificial fertilizers.
Mm.
And this is very, very worrying. Our soils are dying. And this is the real danger for the planet. Because if the soils are dying, the plants are dying. And if plants are dying, there will be no animals anymore. And us, being apex predators, we will be deprived of any consistent source of food. My conclusion after seeing all this cycle, you know, and without any preference, any ideology, the only way to solve this is to put back ruminant animals everywhere. And we could solve the problem of the soils in 10 years.
Wow, that's really promising. So coming back to some of the points that she made in this talk, she said going green in diet is critical to our planet's sustainability. She said our diet is the biggest cause of death. And I think you would agree.
I agree.
But it's the plant-based diet that's the biggest cause of death.
Yes, yes. There is an English, you know, these people who embalm corpses, who do autopsies. No, he's a medical doctor doing autopsies, and he was asked. He was called the man of 1,000 autopsies.
Yeah.
And at the end of his life, he was asked, "Well, according to your experience, what is the weapon that people use the most to end their life?" And he replied, "The fork."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so she says scientific evidence links meat and meat products to numerous diseases. Health costs due to meat consumption have skyrocketed to $50 billion per year. You know, these reports can be so funny because you can, I guess, pull out a report to justify any position that any person takes, no matter how ridiculous or how valid that position is.
Well, the thing is, this is old propaganda. It's not that you can just oppose a good study versus another good study that says the opposite. The studies that concluded that meat was a health hazard were all badly constructed. And 10 years ago, there were already meta-analysis, which is analysis of multiple studies, and the conclusion was it was not the case.
And we heard in that Dr. Chafee interview that publishing a study on meat is impossible. No one accepts it. And that constant rejection makes it one of the most difficult things to break through. So what does the science industry that's a proponent of meat-based diets do in that case? They really don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, you need to understand that publishing a study, and in this case, it's not a study on meat, epidemiological studies, which is that you separate two groups, right? One consuming meat, but this meat is a hamburger in McDonald's.
Yeah.
Or a sausage in a gas station every day, which is very bad quality.
That's not even meat. That's
no,
like
it's
some
processed
thing. Fake stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have the bun, you have the sugar with it, you have everything else, right?
Yeah.
And you have another group that doesn't eat this crap.
Yeah.
Vegetarians or vegans. Usually these people are more conscious of their health because if they went that route, is that they just understood that there was a link between their health and what they put in their body.
They're just cutting out junk food.
Yes,
basically.
And usually they drink less, they party less, they take less drugs, they do more exercise.
Right.
So you have on this group that are mostly health conscious.
Right.
Right or wrong way, but they try to take care of their health. On the other side, you have the typical American or European who doesn't care about his health. Smoking, drinking, partying, drugs, and eating crap all day long. And you isolate within the diet of the bad health conscious people that, oh, there's meat.
Right.
And this is the culprit of the health, right?
But then you have organizations that, like the WHO, the World Health Organization, that say that red and processed meats are as dangerous as cigarettes and asbestos. Meat is the new tobacco.
Yeah.
That's what she shared in her talk. So when you've got huge organizations that have a lot of influence on people's health and people's minds
Yes.
that can convince people that
Yes.
meat is that dangerous,
Yes.
equal to tobacco and asbestos.
Yes. And it is these people, the same organization that said that smoking was so good for a pregnant woman in
And
the 30s,
seven-year-olds.
40s,
Yeah.
and these are the same people that said asbestos was no problem.
Yeah.
So the thing is, if I want to be ironic, I would say, why would suddenly meat be bad for us when our ancestors relied on meat exclusively for 2 million years?
But could they ask the valid question? Haven't animals also changed and evolved over the years, just like plants have changed? So our agriculture is no longer the same agriculture of previous times. But aren't animals also different?
We know that's not the case. We
Okay.
know for a fact. Because, for example, we can find mammoths of 50,000 years in the ice of Siberia. And you can eat this meat. They were just frozen. And when you get to them, it's exactly the same meat.
So it's negligible, whatever change they
Yes,
did over the
because
years.
for a DNA change, for a digestive system to change, it takes hundreds of thousands of years. If not millions, right? So we know it is not the case. And we know for a fact what our ancestors were eating until the invention or the introduction of agriculture. We know that for a fact through the study of the bones of ancestors. If you have the bones of an animal, of a living creature in your hands, through isotopic studies, the study of the components of this bone, you know the diet of the animal. And if you do that on humans, you know for a fact, it's not a million. You know that they were as carnivorous, if not more, than the lions of today.
Well, in her talk, she argues that there is beneficial fiber only found in plant foods, as well as antioxidants and hundreds of thousands of phytochemicals that protect the body and support good health.
Yes, this is a. An idea this is floating around. So fiber, I mean, it is a molecule of sugar that is cannot be digested by animals.
So why is it good for us? Or why do they say it's good for us? It doesn't
Well, you
sound
have
like
to
it.
ask them, because in fact, when people are suffering for constipation, they usually they recommend, doctors in general recommend that you up
Eat
your fiber.
fiber,
It can help. In the way that if your digestive system is very lazy and not functioning correctly, the fiber is such a pain for the digestive system, is such a hindrance that it will try to eliminate it as fast as possible. So it's a danger that needs to get out. So you will poop immediately. But some people have a very bad digestive system for whatever reason. And when they are constipated, like what they call idiopathic constipation, this is a constipation we don't know the cause. And they made for once a very controlled trial where they put one group of people as a control, they don't change anything, so they are constipated, nobody knows why. So they are suffering from bleeding in the stools, very pain, gases, and everything you can suffer when you have a constipation. And then they have a group of people, they increase the fiber, and a group of people, they reduce the fiber, and a group of people, they remove all fibers.
And which group is better off?
At the end of the 15 days experiment, the group that has no fiber is going normally and has absolutely no symptom of anything.
So no
No
fiber.
fiber.
But that's got to be shocking to anyone who really believes in plant-based diets because
Yes,
that's
it's a
all
question
they're
of belief.
taught.
It's a question of belief
It
because how many
is.
times I've been in front of doctors or naturopathic doctors and I told them, look at the fact our digestive system is the one of the wolf or the lion. It's exactly the same. And they all say, no, it's not what I've been taught. And I urge them to go into not, a carnivore book, definitely, no, a physiology book, a mammal physiology, and compare.
I feel for them because
So
you have
now,
to unlearn a lot in order to get your head around this. She basically, and I'm sure she believes this, and I just know from my recent studies that this is not true, but she says vegetarians have longer life expectancy and lower rates of heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and she said a few more. They genuinely believe that vegetarians live longer and have lower rates of these diseases, these very serious diseases.
Yeah, which is absolutely
Not
not
true.
true. Because on vegetarian, I mean, the country in the world that has the lowest life expectancy is India.
And they're vegetarians,
Yeah, because of
usually.
poverty. You have so many preconceived ideas with Indian people out of India misrepresenting what's happening in India. When we talk to people who are Indian and looking really at the situation, they are horrified by the denial of animal protein to the population that leading to so many disease, diabetes, and early death. 70 to 75% of Indians currently are eating meat, contrary to what we are saying. But they are limited by the availability, by the cost, and by the political pressure, because now it's a kind of marker between Hindu and Muslims. If you eat meat, then you are must be with the Muslims and you
Although,
deserve to be killed.
ironically, in the Veda, what is the highest form of
Yeah.
food?
So if you look at the Veda itself, it ranks the quality of the food, and the red meat is the highest food for humans.
And yet, Hindus allow themselves to be vegetarian.
Yeah, the sacred scripture are very clear, but since the
But there
apparition,
was a deviation in
there was a
obviously their
deviation,
practices,
probably 2,000 years ago or so.
which led them to believe that they should be vegetarians when
Well,
they really should not have been. They should
yes.
have been consuming meat.
I mean, one hypothesis is that some political people in charge would have limited the availability of meat in order to save the cattle from this disappearing because maybe of a problem of overpopulation at that moment. So they prefer to reserve the cattle to the production of milk and so ghee and yogurt, etc. But
It was an economics thing to
probably it's a
preserve the
decision,
cattle from having too much.
temporary decision. Maybe. I mean, it's an hypothesis. Another hypothesis is that people in charge of a group of people, because you have to understand that agriculture appeared with the formation of big cities
And governments.
and governments and empires, all right?
And there,
And this is the
in
first
of
time.
itself, I smell a rat just there alone.
So, I mean, there is a strong association between, apparently, the submissiveness of human beings in a group and their diet. And when people are mostly eating plant, they become more passive and more controllable through emotions. And this is a political tool that was even used until recent, probably still is by your special forces, the Spetsnaz in Russia. One of part of their interrogation protocol is that when you have a suspect and you want to interrogate the suspect, it is Pavel Tsatsouline that says so in one of his book. You lock the person 15 days in a prison cell and vegan. And after these 15 days, you can start to ask the questions. The mind, the willpower of the person is shattered.
You break them down.
Yes, they are very emotional and they break very easily.
Well, that's why so many plants are hallucinogens. You can alter people's
This is
minds
another
just.
part of it. But I mean, for me, I see also, but this is less, let's say, it's less evidence-based. But there is a strong push by many people who want to control other people to push towards a plant-based diet. And you see that from Hollywood to our governments to even the local guru in India. They love their followers to be plant-based because now you can have more control.
Maybe this is why, because she argues in this talk, this Dr. Joanna Kong, that leading research journals all support claims of plant-based diets. And she confirms that vegetarians do not get diseases according to these journals, and we need to take these journals seriously. But obviously, these journals must be tied in with some of these bigger ideas of trying to, get people to obey.
Yeah, there's this thing, and there's also this system of big pharma. So, if you understand that your health is mostly driven by what you eat, if what you eat gets you sick, it opens a very big market for people to make money in the cure. I'm not talking about only doctors, etc. Also, the sellers of the magic pill that will cure you, instead of addressing the cause, they will give you something to mask the effect. Right? And these are the people who are financing these journals. And when you have a research that is showing something that is opposite to what they believe is true or want to believe is true, then they would just deny publication. But things are changing. More and more people are getting
Are waking up.
becoming waking up. Even Harvard did a study in 2021 showing that people 6 months on a plant-free diet, 80% of them resolved all problems, metabolic problems.
And
80%.
meanwhile, she argues that the progressions of diseases by eating meat can be halted or reversed as quickly as 2 to 3 weeks of just eating a plant-based diet. So if you just reverse your meat diet and just eat fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, whole grains, will lead to a healthier world. So when you've got proponents talking like this, and she doesn't really back it up, she hasn't given adequate sources. But then again, to be fair, it was a short talk. There's a lot of confusion now. A lot of people get confused, like, oh, maybe I need to go fully plant-based now because of what she just said.
Sure. People, there is not one single population on this planet that could be found to be vegan. Okay. When they have no access to animal flesh, they would settle for milk or, but it was a great hope for many people to find a primitive tribe that would thrive on a pure vegetal diet, and it doesn't exist.
It's nice that we hear about how important animals are for the health of the planet and the soils. But their narrative, and she did state this in her talk, that the health of our planet being at stake is because of the soil erosion, the climate change, the deforestation, the global warming, depletion of our sources, world hunger, species and habitat loss, ocean dead zones, water and air pollution is all attributed to meat-based diets. We cannot put these things off dealing with them any dealing with, otherwise we face catastrophic damage. So that's a very strong and scary message, and it would scare anybody out of eating meat-based food.
Well, I would say there are two dimensions. There is the diet that you adopt for your own health and the diet you adopt to save the planet between brackets. Yeah. So some people are denying themselves the human diet because they are convinced that this will be an ethical thing to do. This is a trap. Because what she's stating there is absolutely not true. What is causing the land erosion is tiling, it's agriculture. It's exactly the production of all these things that the vegans are eating from, like wheat and cereals, etc. You have to kill all living creatures on hectares and hundreds of hectares through pesticides, etc. And in order to get your daily bread.
But this is quite a job in spinning, and she did a very good job at really laying it in to everyone.
Appealing to emotions,
If
always.
we don't stop eating meat, she said, the cost of reversing the damage to our planet will be tremendous. There is one thing that is a major cause of all these global problems, and that is animal agriculture. Here are a few facts. Animal agriculture accounts for 51% of greenhouse gas emissions. It's the number one cause of species and habitat loss due to deforestation and grazing and growing animals for feed crops. Sorry, grazing animal feed crops. It's the main cause of water pollution. It uses half of our water, 70% of our grain, and 80% of our agricultural land to raise the 10 billion land animals that are killed every year for food. Wow, that's pretty devastating. You can cut your carbon footprint in half by going vegetarian. All journals pretty much reflect this, including the United Nations Environmental Program. Says that a worldwide diet change needs to take place away from animal products to fix these problems. What do you make of that?
It's totally made up. This is
How
absolute
do we prove
propaganda.
that when the meat-based proponents aren't even allowed to publish their studies?
No. I mean, you have great environmentalists who absolutely have made these are PowerPoints numbers that are put together by marketing firms in order to sell an idea that will,
Cereals, breakfast cereal,
for
then.
example, or people who will make a lot of money into replacing nutritious food by empty crap that will lead you to be sick. So we have the data from the United agriculture organization, the FAO, or from very good researchers, the serious ones who study, you know, the impact of animal.
Didn't you see reports at the WHO, the World Health Organization? You said that they had reports on the dangers of plants and plant-based
Yes,
foods.
for sure, they have a page on the toxins, the natural toxins in plants, but it would be not an
Why
argument
isn't
in
it
this
taken
case.
seriously? Why aren't people adhering
Because it
to?
doesn't fit the agenda. You prefer to lie, like saying animal agriculture causes 56% of all greenhouse gases, when in fact in the US it is, I think, 3%, right? So there is a lot of flaws, a lot of ideology in these numbers that are actually not true, and you have very good sources of information that correct this according to the best methodologies. Basically, I think it was calculated that if you killed immediately all cattle in this planet, you would reduce the CO2 emission by 0.3% or something.
My
You
gosh.
know, it's ridiculous.
And why would anybody consider killing any of the cattle on this planet? I mean, they're there for a reason. There's a purpose for everything, and there's a purpose for plants if we
Yeah.
just recognize what category they
It's just
belong
for the
in.
sake of argument, you know.
Yeah, and plants are not food. But they do have sort of that monopoly at pulling at the heartstrings. In her talk, she tells a story of an animal in a factory farm. It's a sow, and she says, "I am a sow confined in a cage. I suffer from depression, frustration, and neurotic behavior. My limbs are swollen. I have open wounds. I'm forcibly impregnated, then slaughtered at the age of 3 to 5 years old by being stunned and lowered into boiling water." I mean, that whole thing is so graphic that it would turn anybody off of eating animals. "I have a sense of self. I am intelligent and a social creature. I have memories and I can recognize myself in a mirror just like you." I actually didn't know that. "I love to play even computer games just like you," which really is far-fetched, and I didn't know that, but okay. "I sing to my babies during nursing. I am someone. I am not food." So she says, if we love our pets as family members, then awaken your realization that animals we eat are also very special. They deserve our love and compassion by not eating them. Psychic numbing, she says, is what's happening to us these days, pertaining to the loss of life at a mass level, and we are psychically numbing ourselves. We avoid the pain of empathizing with this type of animal treatment, and it's a type of denial. Can't think of those animals as individuals is most convenient. So she says plant-based eating is one of the top global trends going on, and we need to take it seriously. And it's a
Yeah, it's
trend.
a trend, so let's follow it, right? I think this appeal to emotion is just a tool to manipulate the minds. It is really meant to convince people who are totally disconnected from nature, because in this world, everything lives out of something else. And yes, we should cherish and respect the animals, but by treating them correctly. And by appreciating that we are taking a life, it's not a light gesture, you know.
Well, this is why we have a concept of halal and tayyib in
Absolutely,
Islam,
absolutely.
which is
Yeah, to respect this animal.
and the development of the animal and the slaughtering of the animal.
Yes,
There's
all along
a
its
humane
life.
way
Yes. There's a
to
strong
deal with the
emphasis
animal.
in being grateful even to the animal. But this animal's function is to nourish a human. And if you think you're going to live without taking a life, you are totally disillusional. We know now that plants have feelings too. And as Muslims, we know that everything in this universe has consciousness. So it's really a low-level
Attack.
attack because, yeah, I play video games. What does that mean for a cow? You know, it's so close to Disney propaganda where the animals are so cute and little mouths that are playing piano. This is a mentality of people from the cities that do not know anymore what natural harmony is. Everything is living off something else.
I think after this, at some point, we need to talk about drinking water and how much water we need. That's an entirely different subject, and we'll get into that. But this really leaves me with a lot of food for thought, no pun intended.